98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:05. It is a Friday morning. We've made it to the end of the week. You are now less than 2 weeks away from Christmas, by the way. So I probably just put the pressure on you just by saying that. The clock is ticking, as they say. Here's what we're doing today. First part of the show, Mark Hickok and Christy Christopher from Hooter Valley Parks Recreation District. They are in studio this morning. We will talk about the option that was chosen. Actually, they hybrid it a bit, but we will talk about the pool proposal to replace Hooter Valley Aquatic Center. Second half of the program, Club Gorge Discovery Center Executive Director Cheryl Rager will join us, and we will do all this on the show here in a bit. But first, as we always do, let's take a look at what this day has meant and what it means at least to some people. 1870, Joseph Rainey of South Carolina became the first black lawmaker sworn into the U.S. House. 1985, 248 American soldiers, 8 crew members, killed when an Aero Air Charter crashed after takeoff from Gander, Newfoundland. This day in 2000, George W. Bush became president-elect as a divided Supreme Court reversed a state court recount decision in Florida's tightly contested presidential election. 2010, the inflatable roof on the Minneapolis Metrodome collapsed following a snowstorm that had dumped 17 inches on the city. The NFL forced to shift an already rescheduled game between the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants to Detroit's Ford Field. 2015, nearly 200 nations meeting in Paris adopted the first global pact to fight climate change, calling on the world to collectively cut greenhouse gas emissions, but imposing no sanctions on countries that did not do so. And in 2018, Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's one-time fixer, was sentenced to 3 years in prison for crimes that included arranging the payment of hush money to conceal Trump's alleged sexual affairs. Days for today, we've got a few unusual ones here. It is National Salesperson's Day. We will tell you that right off. And it's also Poinsettia Day today, which is, for the holidays, appropriate. It's also a National 12-Hour Fresh Breath Day today, which I guess means brush your teeth. I believe also, by the way, a toothpaste company came up with that day. It's pure marketing. It's also International Soundcheck Day, which we are familiar in this business with doing. It is also Official Lost and Found Day. I do not know what makes this official, by the way. I have no idea. But it says it's Official Lost and Found Day as opposed to apparently other unofficial Lost and Found Days. And this other one, it's the Festival of Unmentionable Thoughts. And apparently where this was, nobody knows who started this or why. And I think everybody is afraid to ask what this actually means. But apparently this is a day to celebrate your unmentionable thoughts. I don't know. I just report them here. I would not necessarily say you openly celebrate this. Our food today, it's National Ambrosia Day today. For those of you who like that particular piece of kind of a holiday dinner sort of a item. And it's Gingerbread House Day today. For those of you who do that, yeah, you make the gingerbread house, and then I guess eventually you eat it, I suppose. My mom never was into that sort of thing. My mom just made the Christmas cookies. But anyway, that's what we got for you for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. It is 8:09 in the morning. We'll come back, talk about the Hooter Valley Aquatic Center after this.
Hi, I'm Drew Barrymore, and I want to tell you how you can help to support the life-saving work of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. When you give, you're helping ensure families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. This holiday, help St. Jude give children the greatest gift, a chance at a lifetime.
This holiday, help St. Jude find more cures for more children. Donate now at musicgives.org.
Get wall-to-wall savings at Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets. Work directly with Larry, Morgan, or Shelby. They know flooring with over 30 years' experience, plus Affordable Floors gives you a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So come to the one-stop shop for everything your floor needs. Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable Floors in Abbey Carpets. 1512 Osprey Drive, across from Windmaster Market in Hood River, online at affordablefloorshr.com.
The holidays are here, And no matter how your family celebrates this season, it will definitely be brighter with $1,000 to add to your holiday cheer. Bi-Coastal Media wants to lift your holiday spirit with a $1,000 shopping spree at participating Gorge merchants. Just enter to win by December 17th. Get an extra $1,000 in your Christmas stocking by entering at any of these Gorge merchants.
West 2nd Street Market and Deli, Lone Pine Sinclair, Herbal Revival Apothecary, and Hats Downtown 76.
Hood River Valley High School's annual canned food drive is underway. We will be collecting cans, dry good items, and feminine products through December 17th and monetary donations through January 8th. All donations will go to Fish Food Bank. On weekends, HRVJ students will be at Walmart to accept donations. If you would like to donate online, click the link on the HRVHS website. Make sure to clearly state which third period classroom your donation is going to. Help us do something amazing for the people in our community. Happy holidays.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back on MCT. It is 8:11 in the morning. We're now joined in studio by, from the Hood River Valley Parks Recreation District, Executive Director Mark Hickok and Christy Christopher from the Board for the Park District. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you, Mark.
Good morning.
And good morning. And on Wednesday evening, you unveiled the, I'll say the optioning, but I know you combined some stuff here. For new slash renovated swimming pool, Hood River Valley Aquatic Center. And Mark, I'll start with you here first. Guys, a little history here. The Aquatic Center is younger than the pool itself. It was built over the existing pool. So how old is that pool now? I mean, we've been talking about the eventual aging out of this pool. We've almost aged out the talk, I think. How old is this?
Yeah, so the original pool, of course, was built in 1947.
Right.
And in the 80s, it was failing, and the Parks District was formed to take it over from the city and rebuild it. When they did that, they pretty much demolished most of it. The tanks were demolished and the building and such, but they did leave some things. And some of the stuff they left was one of the walls of the tanks, and so we still have one of the original walls there. The surge tank, they turned that into a filter, so it was kind of this Frankenstein thing. So we were still using some of the old parts. Right. And then they put in a new pool around there and put a tent over the top in the 90s.
About a year ago, went out with a bond measure that was much more in the swimming pool.
Yes.
That was defeated. So, Mark, take us now through some of the process after that, what the district then went through.
Well, yeah. So it was actually about a year and a half ago now, and we took the first summer and we just went out and listened, and we had a whole bunch of listening sessions, and we had open houses at the pool. We talked to stakeholders. We did a big survey, and we came back and had a really comprehensive report. But really, what it came down to was two items rose to the top. We asked for too much, and it was too complicated. People said we support the pool, we like the pool, but all this other stuff, just ask for the pool, And also, we don't want a big community center. We want the pool. Just replace what we've got. And so, in the next year, we decided let's just start from scratch here on our planning here. And we went out and we got a new architect, and we gave them that task of what can we do to replace just this pool? Should we look at doing another tent? Should we look at doing a whole new building? And we really engaged the public, and we had multiple public meetings throughout the summer, just asking the public, what do you want? What really is it? Because we really want to get it right this time, so we really wanted to just key in and engage the public. We started an advisory council of 20 people that are helping us with it. A foundation was formed to try and raise some money for some private money as well, and really just try and take another run and find out exactly what and make it something that's right-sized for this community.
So you got the three options going into this meeting, Christy, on Wednesday night, and what you ended up revealing wasn't one of the options per se, but you took some maybe from everything here, it sounds like.
That's correct.
So outline what we're down to here.
Sure, yeah. So in that board meeting where we gave guidance to the architects, we really looked at what are some of these key questions that we need to answer. And so what we ended up with was we need a permanent roof. that this is a major investment for our community. And so having something that can be durable, more cost efficient, potentially to, you know, insulate it, things like that, that's important. So we gave that guidance. Now, most of the other factors were do what you can to keep the cost down. And so what that's resulted in is it's still a single story building, so no elevator. We need to get it up to code for ADA. And so, you know, in our current facility, that would mean we'd have to add an elevator. So, you know, we're keeping it one floor. We're keeping it about the same square footage. And we did something that will also help with programming. We swapped the orientation of the pools. So now the warm water pool, as I like to call it, is right by the entrance. So people of all ages can easily get to it. It's combined with the waiting pool so that you can make more use of that space. And then the competition pool's further on the other side.
Is it accurate to say, you know, based on what I just heard there, that the three options, one was said renovation, and the other two were basically rebuild. Is it fair to say this is rebuild at this point rather than renovate?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with the tent building question. And for either one of you, that maybe can answer this. Because it always seemed to me there were always tent panels having to be replaced. That was kind of a constant theme of this facility. Because for those who don't know, the wind blows here. It blows a ton. I'm interested to know, how much were you spending on tent panels to keep it a covered pool?
The tent panels are about $12,000 each, and last year we replaced three of them.
Okay, and to be honest, that was not an uncommon story.
No, I mean, we've averaged about one per year that we'll replace, but it's not just the panels. The west wall will tear out, and we'll have to get a genie lift and go in there, and we've so far just kind of been band-aiding it by hanging a tent or a tarp over the edge of it.
And where I was kind of going with that was a lot of maintenance costs, and I assume the tents are not as well insulated to keep heat in or AC, depending on the season, as having a solid building. Do you foresee some savings in operational and maintenance costs by doing an outlay of let's just put it in as a building and not deal with this tent issue anymore?
Yeah, we do. The tent especially, the amount of time that we're always putting into it is a big thing there. But also having a real roof and walls and everything like that, it just reduces a lot of that.
So you settle on the building. You're going to the reorientation. Christy, you mentioned that in part you were dealing with some ADA issues that needed to be addressed. But why, I guess, is it better for the warming pool, I guess, to be moved kind of to the front of the facility, for lack of a better term, rather than the reverse that I believe you have now?
Yeah, I mean, so the main one, and Mark can add in on here, is the age range of who is using that warm pool.
All right.
So you've got the tiniest, literally babies, toddlers, you know, where in the current situation, they've got to go all the way to the back corner. And you've got, you know, our most senior users, too. I have young children, and I can tell you, it is a bit frightening every time I walk out of that locker room and I hold my young son's hand very tight at that deep end.
Well, I'm sure, I mean, any body of water, I would think, might cause that. So I can understand that part of it.
Yeah.
So it's just simply maybe, because I'm not going to say I know how this pool completely developed over time. Yeah. I'm not a swimmer. But am I to assume, Mark, that waiting pool, the warm water pool, kind of get added later, and that's why it ended up the configuration it did? It was already there.
It was added during the 1990s thing. But but because they used the same tank that they had, that wall from the same tank that they had before, they really put it there. And I think that the focus on the pool for a long time was really the competitive swimming.
Right.
And the other stuff was kind of a second thought. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have a higher mic stand for you.
Okay.
I wish I did. I'd change it out for you there. But so how, if it's with a complete rebuild, one of the questions I do have here is, assuming you were to get this approved, how long would it take? Because now we're looking into a situation where you go without a pool for a year or two. And I know that that's not the greatest ideal thing in the world, but I mean, how long are we looking at?
The estimation on that is about a year,
okay.
But it could go longer. We've heard anywhere from year to 18 months or so. Yeah. Where, you know, we always will shoot, you know, try and do it, but we all know construction projects and such.
Yeah, and weather factors. You're trying to do a full year-round build.
Yeah.
I take it, though, I mean, given, again, the messages you got from the last election and the reality of the condition of this pool, I take it we're just to the point where we're just going to – we'd have to just basically bite the bullet and do without a little while to be able to, for the long-term gain. Is that kind of where the board came down, Christy?
Exactly. And we were looking at everything that could cut costs. Mm-hmm. And so we landed on, you know, short-term pain is worth it for the long-term benefit. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, a renovation, mm-hmm. which is practically not feasible anyway, but would be downtime, downtime also.
It would have been either way at that point.
Yeah.
So... I need to ask the question. I think people are probably yelling at me for not asking yet. How much?
Yeah, so the current estimates that were shared the other night, were it's about $43 million. Okay. Now we are still working on, are there things that we can reasonably cut off of that? So I would not say that that's the final dollar figure right now.
Okay.
But that's where it's down to. It was at $72
million. Okay.
So we've done a lot to cut that down. We can talk about that if we have time.
Well, okay. So what did you cut down? Because, I mean... You know, between Hood River and White Salmon, the one thing I do know about indoor swimming pools is they cost a lot. And they are a substantial, you know, price tag to them. You know, going from 72 to 43, that's a third. That's a pretty good reduction. So what did we do without here?
Yes. Well, the biggest thing was cutting the community center aspect. And so that was something that was... It turned out to be very contentious. A lot of people wanted it. A lot of people really did not want it. Mm-hmm. And so we landed on, we've got to cut that out. So that was the biggest one. Another one is investments in parks. So we cut out developing Westside Park for now. You know, that was in the previous ask. And we also got a grant for Parkdale Park.
Okay, so you didn't necessarily cut from the pool, or at least the majority from the pool. It's more the comparison to what you asked for, Mark, a year ago, or a year and a half ago.
Correct, but the pool also, we were going to try and build that on another site.
Right.
And so by building it back on this site, that will cut some costs as well. Mm-hmm. So the pool did, that is one compromise as well, where the pool will have to be closed now, too.
Right, and so that's a part of it.
Yeah.
So, we kind of went over, you know, the basics of this pool design.
Mm-hmm.
What will be, is it pretty much just replace what you have? Is that essentially what we've gotten down to here? I mean, but I assume you'll read it. I assume the locker rooms need some work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the pool offices need some work. I mean, I'm kind of assuming after 30 plus years, everything, like any place else, needs some work. Is that what you tried to limit it to this time? Or Christy?
I would say replace what we have, but with modern a modern approach, you know, an updated approach.
All right.
So the warm water pool really is a notable one. I know I've already said it, but also the new design of it makes it more usable. More people can use it at the same time, more swim lessons, things like that.
How does that get accomplished? I assume the pool itself, because there's still an eye with competition there. I assume it's going to still be a competition-sized pool.
Yes.
Is the warm water pool going to be expanded? How is that going to work?
Well, we're combining the therapy pool and the other warm. So effectively, the space that, say, all ages can use, that total space is expanded.
And I would think, is that useful for, you mentioned, you know, swim lessons? Does that allow more room for swim lessons to take place? You don't have to just use the main pool then, I assume.
Correct. Yeah, the swim lessons and then also the shape of it. All of the pools right now are rectangles, and this pool, it will be able to do some sort of another shape where you can kind of create different rooms within the same pool sort of thing, where you could have water aerobics happening at the same time as swim lessons and things like that. Whereas right now, there can be some user conflict in there when it's a rectangle and everyone's kind of moving into each other and such. Floating into each other in a pool.
In other words, it's the standard athletic field problem just with water.
Right.
At that point. So I'll use the $43 million number, knowing that you say you're still looking for some more savings in there. Property tax impact. Mm-hmm. What would it be?
We're still working on getting those estimates on the property taxes right now. And we'll have a website up soon where you'll be able to put in your address and we'll tell you exactly what your impact is for your home. Mm-hmm.
So we don't necessarily know what, you know, whatever per thousand it's going to be yet. Or do you,
I mean, we have the numbers that we looked at as a board, and they were in the 0.7s when we looked at as a board. But
okay,
you know,
so 70 cents per thousand, somewhere in there?
I just wouldn't want to be, you know, in that range, sure.
Okay. Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't, you know, but yeah, because that still is going to be probably, I keep thinking, that's going to be the main driver here for people, especially in the current climate, unfortunately, financially. I do have a question when it comes to indoor pools here, and it's because we cover a much wider area than just Hood River on this show. White salmon appears to finally be close to actually doing their pool. I say that with trepidation because we've been there before, to be honest. I wonder about market size capability if there are two indoor pools so close together.
So White Salmon's is an outdoor pool.
Oh, they are going out. That's right. They are going out. They were going to go outdoor. Okay. Yeah. So really, so your market, you don't think changes that much?
No. If anything, it's gotten better. I mean, the sports club recently closed their indoor pool.
Yeah.
Indoor pools have been closing in a lot of places.
Well, because they're expensive to run. You can't make money on them.
Yeah, exactly. and there were a lot of plans, like you mentioned, White Salmon was trying to do an indoor pool.
And they went back to outdoor. Yeah,
because the cost is so high with an indoor pool. And so...
Can't grant funds or outside sources? You mentioned this, Christy. I assume you don't have any yet because you really didn't have a firm design or plan. Right. Grantors aren't given money for pie in the sky ideas. Now that you have this, is there some anticipation that part of what can, quote, knock down the cost is get some grant and foundation money from other sources so you don't have to use tax dollars?
So there's some possibility of grants. A tough thing with that, by the way, is you generally have to have the measure approved first to show that you have that buy-in before you get the grant, you know? And the grants that are available are really mostly for the outdoor components. So, for instance, we are potentially going to have a splash pad. I say potentially. It's not confirmed. That's something where it's very viable to get grant funding for it.
Okay.
Other than that, it's pretty tough. So the other viable option, we believe, is private dollars from our community. That's going to take time to identify how much and generate
that. And now you're also into one of those situations where there's other projects in the community looking for dollars as well, and maybe they don't have a tax base, so they're, you know, that becomes problematic, I would think.
Definitely.
At that point. I am curious, I mean, Mark, because you've been in this business, why outdoor would get necessarily priority in grant funding than indoor? That I find that curious.
That's just how most of the grants are written. And, and really the reason that that White Salmon decided to go with the outdoor, half of their money right now is coming from two grants that they get out of Washington State that are not available for indoor facilities. They're only outdoor.
I find that curious, especially in our weather area, but... It is what it is.
And I think it's most of the grants are coming from state parks.
Okay.
And so, and state.
That makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
In the state parks area.
Yeah.
So, as you go through this, what's next? Where do you go from here? Now that you've got the option out before the public, where do you move to from here? Where are the next steps? I mean, I know it's probably, I assume, about you've got to file by early March, somewhere in there.
Correct, yeah. So we have a lot of decisions to make. You know, everything so far has been guidance for the architects and so on. So in the December and January meetings, we have a lot of decisions to make. And one thing we haven't even talked about here is the money for our maintenance and services that we provide.
And that's where I was going to go to before we leave here, because part of what the proposal was 18 months ago, you actually had two measures.
Right.
You had the bond measure. You also had an operations levy of, I forget what the number was. It wasn't particularly high. I think it was 40, 50 cents. And that didn't pass also. So where do we go? I mean, can you, you know, this goes to my theory. You can always build just about anything. But operation maintenance, how is that going to be handled here? I mean, certainly you've got costs that you already are spending already in your budget. Could your current budget, given normal inflationary trends, which aren't normal anymore, do you have the money to maintain this and operate it?
No. We will have to get some operational money as well. So we are looking at doing some sort of operations measure as well.
Would you do this at the same time, or would you stagger it a bit?
We're still working on that.
I'll let the board member who's got to make the vote answer this one.
Right. So all of the discussions we've had recently have been moving in the direction of doing them at the same time in May of this coming year.
Right.
those are not official decisions yet. Right, we're still working on that. We're talking with so many people to try to figure out what is the best, most viable route.
Because admittedly, whenever I hear two measures from a body at the same time, mm-hmm. and Mark, you already live this.
I know.
Boy, that's problematic, isn't it?
I wish we could combine it. I wish state law allowed us to put it all in one thing.
Keeping the cap off, I understand the theory behind it. I mean, it does start to add. Now, let me ask this: because you've scaled back the capital side of mm-hmm. this, would you need as much operational levy as was proposed the first time?
The same stuff that we are doing with the capital side, with scaling things back, we're having those same conversations around the operation. Right. Yeah. The right size for the community, what do we need? And so we are definitely scaling that back as well. But what we don't want to do is get ourselves in some sort of situation, which we have seen in other places in the state, where they build this nice, beautiful building, and then they can't operate to run it.
And that's my point. Yeah. You can build just about anything between grant dollars and foundation dollars, and get right down to capital tax projects. But if the operational goes haywire, heck, we've seen the state of Oregon do this with any number of facilities, where they build a facility and then budgetarily they go, oh, we can't afford to open it.
Right.
At which point now you've wasted a ton of money in a lot of different ways. And so, I would think that's a critical component to this moving forward, is determining what the operational number would have to be and whether the public would bear that.
Yeah, and this also goes into the design of the pool. When we are designing this pool, many of our decisions are, we can't add that because that would add an extra lifeguard, or we can't add that because that would be more staffing. And so we're really trying to design it so that we can try and keep our operations costs low.
Well, I would think there would be some operational cost savings in a new building, just from what we talked about kind of at the start when we talked about the tents, is you get rid of some things as well that have become... Yeah, annual events like replacing tent panels,
right.
And that's money. And now, while you always keep reserve for horrible emergencies, everybody does that.
Uh-huh.
I would think there could be some savings there that would offset some of the it would at least somewhat offset what you might need in addition to operations.
Yes,
at that point.
Yeah.
So, I would take it because I know there'll be an education component to this with any campaign. Do you have an idea of a date of, hey, we've got to make our decision, even though there may be this filing deadline, whatever the filing deadline is officially, but is there a feeling of, okay, we've got to have this ready to go by, so I'll just throw February 1 out of the air. Yeah. But a date where you go, okay, to have an effective campaign, we've got to make the decisions.
In our project plan, we have, by the end of the January board meeting, we need to have all those key decisions made.
Okay.
That wouldn't mean like the language for the ballot measure, but those key decisions where we can start saying this is what it is and when.
Where you can start an actual campaign to see if this will get passed or not.
Right.
Yeah. That being said, we do have a board meeting this next Wednesday night where we really are going to be diving in and getting a pretty close idea of what we're going to be doing at that meeting as well. So there's going to be a lot of conversations just next week.
Now, I know I've shot way over time here, but it's worthwhile here. When you did your outreach, was there an indication or any questions asked about what are you willing to pay when you did your public outreach? Was there anything like people going, okay, I can do 78, whatever the per thousand they might say, but after that, it's like, yeah, much as I'd like it, I don't think I can afford it, from our property tax level. Do we have is there any study or research to indicate or give you guidance on, okay, here's how far we can go?
Not exactly like how you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The guidance very commonly from people was just get it as low as you can. Of course, that's a judgment call.
That's true.
Right. But the thing that's so tough with that is when you're buying something, it depends on what you're buying, how much you're willing to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so tough. It's almost like you have to have defined what that concept is to then say to people, okay, how much will you pay for this?
Now that you've got a full concept in place, that's where you start to move to that point, and given the timeline, that's where the difficulty is, to try to narrow it down and hone in. What was that on the first one? I forget. It was a buck something, and It was substantially lower than the number you're spitballing here.
Yeah, all together between the levy and the bond, $1.70.
Okay.
It was one. I believe it was 1.27. Was the bond?
Mm-hmm. Was the bond was 1.27? Yeah. Well, 1.27.
And then 0.43, and then 1.70.
I could think of a number of different more questions, but it's 8:35, so I got another guest, so I probably do need to stop this.
We'll come back.
Yeah, you guys will come. I'll be inviting you back. Uh-huh. Sometimes people think I can drag people in, and that's not true. Mark Hickok and Christy Christopher, Hood River Parks and Rec District. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. 8:35. We'll be back after this.
If you've been diagnosed with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, this is what it sounds like to be a million miles away. Imagine being a million miles away. Tremfya, guselkumab, taken by injection, is a prescription medicine for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from taking injections or pills or phototherapy. With Tremfya, clearer skin is possible. In clinical trials, at least 70% of patients saw at least 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks. Results may vary. Tremfya is also indicated for adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
Ever feel nervous walking into a gun store for the first time? You're not alone.
Hi, I'm not sure where to start. This is my first time here.
Welcome, and don't worry, you're in good hands. Whether you're new to firearms or just looking for information, we're here to help. At Gorge Guns, we understand that buying a firearm is a big decision, especially if it's your first time. Our experienced and friendly staff are here to guide you every step of the way. We offer safety course information, personalized advice, and a welcome environment for all our customers. Feel free to ask any questions you have.
Wow, thank you. This makes me feel so much better.
Visit Gorge Guns today and experience a different kind of gun store, where knowledge, safety, and customer comfort come first.
I felt silly for being nervous, but they were so friendly and really helpful. I felt so comfortable and supported.
Visit Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the Gorge, at 1040 Tucker Road in Hood River, or online at gorgeguns.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
On the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. A quick check of the news. I know we're way behind here. Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs approving a grant to reestablish the student-led campus veteran resource center at the CGCC campus in the Dalles. Wasco County officials say the primary goal for the center is to support rural veterans not only in transitioning to college, but in completing degrees and certifications and successfully entering or advancing in the workforce. Three Democrats running for the open House seat, among the most competitive and unpredictable in Oregon. That's right here in the Gorge, House District 52. Teachers Nick Walden Poublon and David Osborne are now being joined by Hank Sanders, a longtime legislative aide for his mother, Portland Democratic State Senator Lisa Reynolds. They've all filed in the 52nd District. One Republican has filed. That's Robert Fleming, a residential property manager from Gresham with no experience in public office. The incumbent Republican, Jeff Helfrich, is planning to run for the state Senate. Hood River County Planning Commission continued into February the public hearing on Packer Orchard's appeal of a county administrative decision on required conditions to modify the existing farm stand permit for the operation on land zoned exclusive farm use on Thompson Road. An issue is the amount the business can take from fee-based events or incidental product sales, which by state rule is limited to 25% of the farm stand's income. Packer Orchards has appealed 10 of those conditions in that permit. Roughly 37,000 Oregonians who rely on food assistance are impacted by new work requirements that went into effect this month. The Oregon Department of Human Services announcing the U.S. Department of Agriculture recently ended the state's work rule waivers. The change impacts what were known as able-bodied adults without dependents, which now includes adults between 18 and 64 who do not have a child under the age of 14. Current temperatures here in the Gorge. We can tell you that it is 47 in the Dalles, 50 in Stevenson, 49 in Hood River. Columbia Gorge Community College next.
Having family over for the holidays? With Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical, you can relax knowing all your home comfort needs will be covered for your family celebrations. Plus, now's the perfect time to upgrade your old HVAC system or water heater before thousands of dollars in federal and state tax credits run out this year. Visit skyheating.com to make your home holiday perfect and save big.
Oregon, CCV number 245538. Washington license, SKYHEHA870L6.
Sky Heating.
Happy holidays from Precision Automotive in the Dalles. Precision Automotive would like to take a moment to say thank you to our incredible community for voting them Best of the Gorge once again this year. They're honored to bring home the gold medal for Best Mechanic, along with silver medals for Best Oil Change and Best Auto Repair. Your trust means everything to them, and they're proud to keep you safe on the road all year long. From the team at Precision Automotive, thank you and happy holidays.
At Pierstoke Sports, we've got what you need for your kind of fun in the Gorge. Trails, snow, water, and wind. We're stocked with camping gear, Windsport favorites, and all the latest winter toys. Skip the hassle of selling your old gear. Bring it in and we'll sell it for you. Hurry in for early buy discounts and limited edition Grateful Dead-themed Atomic Bent Chetler skis. Plus the newest dual BOA ski boots from K2 and Atomic. Snowboarders, check out the Phase Step-in bindings from Rome. Shop for fun. Shop Pierstoke.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by SheFire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. SheFire, 980-1181.
Mostly sunny skies today. Highs around 60 and the west wind 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows mid-40s. Sunny again Saturday. High temperatures in the lower 60s.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Mornings. We're now joined by, from the Columbia Ocean Discovery Center, Executive Director Cheryl Rager. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Mark. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. Holidays at the Discovery Center. What's going on out there?
I was thinking about a lot of things as I was thinking about what I was going to talk with you about today. And one of the things that struck me is how much happened in 2025. It was quite a year for us, and we're sort of at the place, for me anyway, where I'm celebrating all that we got done. We got reopened. We had our brand new exhibition opening, and that's still going on right now. It's called A Sense of Place, and it really focuses on local agriculture and what's going on in terms of land use and ecological use of the land. So it's a wonderful thing that continues to go on. We had our halls filled last weekend with the Archaeology Roadshow, which had all kinds of information for adults and for kids. And I've been really happy because our halls have been filled with sort of one thing after another this fall and into winter. And then talking about what's to come, which was your mm-hmm. question. After sort of taking a little bit of a breather, we'll be gearing up in January for the Eagle Watch, which we have worked with the Dalles Dam for a number of years now. And we're going to be doing even more this year, which our education team is taking on. We're going to have more of the Sense of Place talks that are usually held in Hood River. We're going to have some more of those pop-up talks mm-hmm. at our museum. So that'll be sort of mm-hmm. late winter, early spring. We'll be having events for kids all over the spring break week. We'll continue to have, we've been doing things on the weekends for families and kids. And then we'll come back around in early spring to our wildflowers and watersheds event. So that's just kind of a little bit of a look ahead of all that's going on in the museum.
I take it on one of those things with a sense of place, a pop-up. I take it the one that took place here just a little while ago, which was associated with your current exhibit on the Imperial Stock Ranch. I take it that went well.
Oh, it was so wonderful. And, of course, I'm biased because it brought in Jeannie Carver, who you know, is the heart of the Imperial Stock Ranch. She and her husband, Dan. And to have her talk about it and all that she went through and talk about how it came about was moving, and it was very successful. And I think it kind of, for me, epitomized, like I said, we got through our big events. We got through the exhibit opening right after we opened from the fire. We got through our annual fundraiser. And then we got to stop and really think about the importance of it all. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to have things like that. And I really want people to understand. I'm kind of feeling like maybe with the HVAC issues that bugged us for a couple of years when we couldn't have as much, and then, of course, being closed for almost 6 months, I want people to know that we're doing a lot at the museum, and it's a small staff, and they are really going at it, and we're getting lots done. We're having things, like I said, for adults. We're going to do more things for our members. We're doing lots of stuff for kids. Our education team has just been amazing with their programs, the Secrets program throughout the Gorge area. But then all the things they're doing in-house, wreath making and you know, making projects and then teaching about bugs and crawly things for growthology. I really want people to see us as a place to come out and as families and as individuals and see all the things we have to do.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you became kind of a peek into next year a bit. So what's to achieve that goal, what sort of things do you have in mind? Because let's face it, this summer you got disrupted without question with the fire situation. you lost a lot of your prime season, essentially, and a lot of your prime season where you were holding events, things like that, couldn't happen.
That's right.
So what's in the planning process here? What sort of events are we thinking about? And are we looking about going back, maybe some things you've done in the past as a center, or, you know, times change? Are you looking maybe at some things and doing them a little differently?
I think a little bit of both. But one thing that I will point out that I think is helps us, sorry, I'm getting a little feedback, is that our education team was at work the entire time that the rest of us were closed. Mm-hmm. So they were out doing programs. They were doing their summer programs with migrant kids. And so they've been thinking and moving and doing things constantly. Mm-hmm. And so Danny and Liesl and Nick, they've been continuing to think about things to do and reaching out and looking for partners, and which has helped us immensely. Mm-hmm. As far as events go, you're right. We got shut down in the summer. We're still working on it. They're working mm-hmm. right now to bring up our fences. Our offices are just now getting rebuilt. But our events coordinator, Tiffany, is amazing. She's already got people reaching out and events for, you know, the kind of weddings and those special events that other people hold. They're already filling up for the summer again. Everybody's mm-hmm. anxious to get back. So that will help. Mm-hmm. That will help immensely. But it just takes a lot of work. You know, and I think that's what you're sort of getting at with the mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work. We've been having sort of team leadership meetings every week and working together on what our plans are going to be, how we can coordinate together so that we can get it done. Because no one person, not even one area, can do all these things, you know?
So how long will A Sense of Place be up as an exhibition out there?
You know, we don't have a set end date for it. The vision that Jeannie Carver, who really was hands-on in making this happen, she felt it was really important that this agricultural, rural piece of Wasco County and the Gorge was told. And her vision is that when Imperial Stock Ranch is when we're ready to move on from that, that some other agricultural group would come in there or story, you know, one of the orchardists in the area or one of the wheat farmers or maybe a consortium of groups, but that we continue to use that space as telling the story of the importance of farming and ranching in our area. So as I say, we don't really have an end date. We know we want it to be there for a while. It's so amazing. I can't say anything, but you know that Shanico Wool Company, who Jeannie's an integral part, they have been providing the wool that makes Olympic garments for quite a while now. And again, I can't say anything, but we have some new things coming that will be in our exhibit very soon that will only be seen in our exhibit and nowhere else live for a while now. So that's pretty exciting for us.
Okay, I got a suspicion where maybe this is coming from, but I understand you can't say anything. So we should mention here real quick before we let you get away here. We are unfortunately running out of time here this morning. Holiday time means, of course, some changed up hours for the Discovery Center, which normally is pretty much open every day. Holidays, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and thank you for reminding me of that because it is important for people to know that. Just quickly, we're actually closing next week at noon on Wednesday the 17th because we're going to have some in-house training that we've kind of put off for a while, and I wanted to make sure everybody was available. So we'll close at noon next week on the 17th, and then after that, we're going to close at noon on Christmas Eve, and we'll be closed all day Christmas, but then we'll be open again right afterwards if people are in town or looking for something to do with their families. We're going to do the same for New Year's. We'll close at noon on New Year's Eve so that folks can participate in things. We'll be closed all day New Year's Day, and then we'll be right back at it the day after on the 2nd. So right now that is all we have planned. Otherwise, we're sticking with our 9 to 5, and we'll be around.
Cheryl Rager has been our guest from the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, the executive director. Cheryl, thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you again in the new year.
Yes, happy new year then, Mark. Thank you.
Happy holidays, Cheryl. It is 8:53 in the morning on MCT. We'll come back and start to wrap things up after this.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, ETHOS, ethos.com/Mike.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Honey, look, 4 calling birds.
Do they have cell phones?
Well, yeah. They're called calling birds because they have 4 lines of Cricket 5G.
How
do they pay?
Oh, easy. Each line is only $25 a month.
Who are they calling?
Beats me. One sec, gotta take this.
Join Cricket Nation and get four lines for $25 per month each. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket may temporarily slow data speeds if the network is busy. New lines only. All lines must be select unlimited plan fees. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-837-5050. That's 800-837-5050.
At Summit Embroidery Works, we understand the value your business adds to our community. That's why we produce all of our custom embroidery and screen printing locally. Keeping business in our community enables you to experience lower costs, higher quality, and convenient access to the expertise and products you seek. Hi, this is Dawn at Summit Embroidery Works. I love helping local businesses and sport teams display their own unique identity. Summit Embroidery Works, putting your logo to work for you.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And it is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And in the next week on the show, Monday, we'll talk Port Hood River and we'll talk the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. Tuesday, Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton stops by. Plus, we'll talk to White Salmon Mayor Marla Keebler. Wednesday, we'll talk White Salmon Valley Schools with their superintendent, Rich Polkinghorne. Their ballot measure is really just around the corner. Also, we'll talk on Thursday, Columbia Gorge Community College. Friday, we'll talk Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce. We'll weave a few other things in there during the course of the week, which that will be our last full week of shows for the calendar year, because we will only have Monday and Tuesday the following week, with Wednesday being the traditional show that we do, where we really don't, we do MCT, but we do something, you know, fun, a little different. Last year we did some stand-up comedy cuts. We've done old-time Christmas plays. I think what we did in 1930s, A Christmas Carol airing from the Kemble Soup Playhouse Theater, which we could bring back. So I got to think about that in the next few days, what we're going to do on the 24th. Then we don't do an MCT again until the 5th of January. We come back on Monday the 5th. So that's just kind of become our traditional holiday hiatus on the program, because getting guests between Christmas and New Year's to say is difficult doesn't quite underscore it. It's impossible. For very good reasons. And I'm gone anyway, so why drag a guest host into it? And so we just take a hiatus. So where are things going on, by the way? I know we just got a minute or so left here. Advent concerts today at Riverside Community Church, Hood River Valley Chamber Choir, High School Chamber Choir, and the Jazz Ensemble. Noon today at Riverside Church Sanctuary. So you can go and enjoy and check that out. Hood River Middle School PTO presents their Home Alone movie night at 7 this evening. Hood River Middle School Auditorium, $5 admission, all ages welcome. 10 and under do need to be accompanied by an adult. Festive sweaters and holiday pajamas, they are encouraged. They'll have a photo booth and snacks for sale as well. Another family movie night, the best Christmas pageant ever at Hegewald Auditorium in Stevenson. That's going to be tonight. Doors open at 6, movie at 6:30. Also, Columbia Gorge Orchestra Association, Voce Community Choir, Friday, Saturday night at 7, Hood River Valley Christian Church. Sunday at 2 at the Dallas Civic Auditorium. Go to gorgeorchestra.org for tickets. Hood River Eye Openers Lions Club. You've got your free photos with Santa tomorrow, 10 to 2, Down Manor. Donation of non-perishable food, toys, or cash accepted for the Christmas Project. I will cease talking. I will not run into the announcer like I did last time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Have a great weekend.
Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.